Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Season 6 of Southern Charm did not disappoint.
Between Austin Kroll's infamous video, Madison LaCroix's wild allegations in Colorado, to Shep Rose and Craig Conover's surprise dates at Patricia's stag party, it has been nothing short of dramatic.
Not to mention Ashley Jacobs' return. Do you think she really thought she'd get away with sneaking into Patricia's party?
Right? Have you met Mr. Kale?
Definitely a legendary moment, but not one to call 911 over.
In order to prepare you guys for the upcoming reunion, we put together major moments from this past season courtesy of BravoTV.com's very own Southern Charm After Show.
Yes, this is all the behind the scenes of what the Charleston crew was really thinking during those amazing moments. There's commentary from Shep Rose, Craig Conover, Catherine Dennis, Cameron Eubanks, Eliza Limehouse, Danny Bear, Naomi Olindo, and Chelsea Messner.
Plus, the queen of Southern Charm herself, Patricia Altschul. You know she had a lot to say about Ashley.
So listen up. You're about to get a feud refresher.
Can you explain the Madison video?
Don't smile too wide, Cam. You're like,
hey, I say go Austin. I mean, get it if you can.
She said,
Two is better than one.
She said, play on.
Playa. Was it at the same time?
Was what at the same time?
Like, how did y'all, like, how did the night go?
We didn't. That's what I'm saying. Didn't you talk to them too?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh boy, what are they gonna say? And they were like, we got drunk.
We asked them. They swore up and down that they did not come into contact with his. Wiener. But you gotta admit, it looked really effing bad. There were panties on the floor. I mean,
if I had walked in and found my boyfriend with two other women, that would have been it, period. No explanation, nothing. I would have walked out the door and that would have been it.
Why were they in your house?
Okay.
Like, they just like needed a place to crash?
I'll tell you. Because Madison and I, it was like very early on at that point, and she got mad at me and was like, don't ever talk to me again. And I'm like, well, okay. And these two girls are there who I knew a little bit. And I was like, I don't want to be at the bar and I don't want to be at home alone. And they're like, we'll come with you. We're so much fun. You know, so we go back and tequila happens. Then I wake up to Madison, and I'm like, what the hell? It's like,
so wait, are you saying that? Are you saying that nothing happened, or you don't remember if anything happened?
I will also swear up and down that I have no idea. I know for a fact that Chelsea, the girl that took, you know, the video, and I, you know, now did I like kiss the other girl or you know, something or other?
Wait, so now you're saying that you and Chelsea did?
No.
No. Okay. Do you know what I thought the best part of that video was? Was how many times you kept pulling at your pecker. You kept like going like this, like you were pinching it.
I have watched that thing one time through and it's like the most anxiety ridden thing. Didn't see it, let's play it two more times in this episode and then another time in this one. It's just like, will never go away.
Madison mentions that she had revenge sex.
I don't think it would be called revenge sex. I think it would be called irresponsible hookups, right?
No, someone cheats on me, I break up with them and don't talk to them anymore. It's very fucking simple. And she fucking lied on Watch What Happens and caught herself in a fucking corner because Austin never knew.
Yeah.
Never
Did
gave
you
her
see
a pass.
That?
Yeah.
So you cheated after he cheated in retaliation. Yes.
Yes.
And did he know? Did you say, well, guess what? I'm going to go do this now.
Yes.
Wow, you did.
Yes, I did.
Wow, and you made it.
I said, well, it looks to me like hall pass. Like, I can do whatever.
Wow.
Fortunately, he tweeted.
He tweeted right away. I did not give you a hall pass. You tried to cover it up.
Yep.
Again, it's the narrative. It's the narrative. I'm getting a lot of these comments like, oh, it's okay for us to cheat. I didn't say that. If you get cheated on and you decide to stay together, that means let's work through
this.
Clean
slate.
Then
There are the screen grabs.
God damn it. Why do I get it so rough? It's like, okay.
What did you say about Chelsea in those text messages to Madison?
Yeah, I mean, I just talked to Chelsea the other day, and somehow, some way, that night when Shep and Craig broke the news to me, Chelsea's name got brought up, and I was like, what the f*** does Chelsea have to do with this at all? Like, I you know, and I was drunk, and I think when I texted Madison, she said something, and I was like, f*** Chelsea, I don't care what she said, and I don't know, just Madison being vindictive.
She starts screenshotting texts that he said uncomplimentary between Madison and Austin. Austin was saying uncomplimentary things about us.
And Chelsea.
And Chelsea and everybody. He should have never said the things he said. However, she's screenshotting it and sending it to Chelsea like, hey, look what Austin said about you.
He was like, Chelsea, all she does is talk anyway.
That's crazy.
She like lives some fake life on Instagram.
So she betrayed his trust in the worst way. A, he shouldn't have done it. Again, we go to like he said, she said, but I don't know what else you have to do to betray somebody's trust. Like, I mean, how many times does she have to kick him in the nuts?
What did he say about Chelsea?
It was bad.
Why are you talking about me to your girlfriend?
That was a drunken...
Drunk? Take your drunk and whatever and shove it up your ass, seriously, because that cannot be an excuse.
He had said something about me living a fake life. My boyfriend doesn't seem like much of a man.
AKA, he still had the hots for Chelsea.
No.
For sure. Otherwise, why would you care? I mean...
Because I finally, like, post a picture with my boyfriend and everyone's like, oh, you finally found a man and... Good thing you got rid of Austin, so that was his way of like feeling better about himself.
We hear the insult of white trash being thrown out a lot this season. Why is that such a trigger for everyone?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I've been called worse.
I never heard anybody say it, but...
That's like a classic term back where I'm from.
I love you when you did that, you just had an
back
accent.
Back where I'm from, you know what I'm saying?
You perceive somebody to... be being a little like fake or like wanting to like use people a little bit or have ulterior motives and they're like portraying a life that's not, like true colors come out later.
No, you call them white trash whenever it's like, it's when Southern people get a little red, you know?
There's two things, there's country and there's rednecks and rednecks, you know what I mean? I love country people, love them.
I mean in the South, calling somebody white trash, it's just, it's like the lowest denominator.
You know what? Shep him. He said that I was a white trash hairstylist.
Shep did?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't know the country club I grew up in was white trash, but.
Oh my God.
Whatever. I pay my taxes, your parents pay yours. You're a joke.
I think that it's unacceptable on every level. It's just a pejorative term that should not be used, and she doesn't deserve that.
So do you think Madison is white trash?
I'm not going to get into name calling anymore.
He just hates her.
Honestly, I'm above all this. Yeah, I'm honestly above all this.
He hates her because two things, how she treated our friend, and second of all, it started to affect our life.
That's Shep's greatest downfall, is he just fires from the hip. He does not think before he speaks, and he can say some really mean and hurtful things.
For me, I felt like it was, you're a white trash hairstylist.
Yeah, I mean that, and that's
I was like, easy now.
That's nasty.
Easy now.
Yeah.
At the girls' dinner, there were three or four of the girls that said that Shep made them cry. It's unacceptable.
He's made me cry before, and you know, a couple hours later, he will call me and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. He gets this like deep anger within him, and it just, he hasn't learned how to control it. He could do well with anger management.
So is it true that you tried to pursue her while she was married?
Definitely not. She was at a party.
No, yeah.
No, no. We went, she came out to our beach house, and I mean, cute blonde. I was like, what up, baby? I never had her number
it
once.
It was the first
never
night
texted
met
her once. I mean, I like whispered some shit in her ear. Big deal. And then he went down and walked on the beach with her and disappeared for an hour.
We did. We go on a walk together and talked, and she was in like a, she was unhappy with her life at that time, and then
she's going through a divorce.
Yeah.
And they walk down the beach. He doesn't confirm anything.
No, I don't think nothing happened.
I don't know. He just wants it to be known, like, I can get anybody that you want, and don't you forget it. And my thing is, I'm like, Shep, you will never get a woman over me, ever. And that's why he hates Madison. That's why he always hated her, because he never laid his dirty, grimy hands on her before I did.
It is the most unhealthy, exhausting relationship I've ever witnessed.
Austin is a very nice, attractive guy. I mean, she's attractive too, so go your separate ways.
Yeah, like they just shouldn't be in a relationship options. Together.
It's like you don't know if they're together or not, and
I just assumed they weren't
together in the beginning because she was like flirting with people on the internet.
He was seeing her the whole time.
Yeah.
He
just hid it from us.
He lied to all of us. I didn't ever talk to her. They had been dating. I mean, this is not anything new.
Yeah, he tried to hide it from us.
Again,
so he
he's not as good of an actor as she is. You could totally tell. I mean, they were trying to pretend like they hadn't been seeing each other for the past month, and they had.
I don't think any of us believe we are going to be dancing at their wedding, okay?
My understanding of it all, you know, Shep was goading her. Like, come on, I dare you. I will out-argue you all
and
day,
Shep
little girl.
And Shep does do that.
He can belittle you.
Shep knows how to...
He prides himself in making you feel, as he always says, this small.
Yeah.
You thought you and Austin were going to fall back into each other's arms and ride off into the sunset?
Wouldn't that have been nice?
No. It would have been foolish, I think, for both of you.
I think it's sad that your opinion weighs so heavily on our relationship, because to me, it doesn't matter.
I don't think it does.
He doesn't listen to us.
He
didn't talk to us.
I don't know who he talks to. I honestly don't know who he vents to.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't understand that.
Because you don't give a f*** about what Austin feels, and you genuinely don't care.
She goes, if it wasn't for you and Shep, and I was like, oh, come
yeah,
on.
Like, we're, I was like, are you know, kidding and there me? Always has to be an enemy with her and them.
What do you think you know about me?
What do I think I know about you?
Yeah, I have nothing to hide.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
I heard you gave her chlamydia.
What?
It was an attack. Instead of like discussing what was going on, you attacked with something just so not related that she was throwing her boyfriend under the bus. She was throwing everyone under the bus.
She operates out of spite, and I think any way that she can pull like somebody else in it at that time, or if she thinks she has ammunition and it may include an innocent victim, she'll say it. She doesn't care if it's true.
She said some really harmful, awful things and said that Austin...
Out of nowhere.
And said that Austin's told her them. Basically, same as the screenshot text.
She went to tear everything down because she just
and
got...
And then, yeah, she again, she'd rather burn the city Then bow out.
When someone's backed into a corner, when a fighter is backed into a corner, they bring out everything in their arsenal.
Well, are they fighting or are they stooping to the same level?
Right.
Once you say something, like, it's out there. And you can regret it, but it doesn't change, like, the behavior and how people perceive you at that point. It does make me question, probably, what I would confide in with Madison. I'm like, are they trying to get back at me because of like the stupid Instagram message? Like that's what was going through my head. And I'm like, these people are crazy. They're crazy.
I don't know the truth. I know that it wasn't truthful, but I stewed on it for a while, and she kind of proved my point. She proved what I called her the whole time. And that just goes to tell you, always trust your instinct. She showed me and all of us exactly who she was.
The thing with Shep is he thinks that, you know, you're just gonna continuously choose Madison over him or over anyone else in your life. And, you know, that's kind of being like a bad friend, you know, but he's like, no matter what she does to you, you continue to go back to her. And I'm just really in a rock and a hard place. I'm like, this sucks. You know, my girlfriend and my My best buds do not get along.
Sometimes your friends can see things that you don't see because you're blinded by love.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. I am not the first person in, to experience this. You can be certain of that. That's why all these terms have come about. Blinded by love. Yeah, and it's a tale as old as time where, women tell their other friends, like, this man is bad for you. It really affects me because I'm like, man, this might really affect my relationship with Shep long term. We're out with friends. I had met them the same day that Craig met them. But the whole day, he was like, they were your friends. I'm like, Craig, I met them at the exact same time that you did.
I was home already in Mount Pleasant, which is about 15 minutes from downtown. He called me and said that there were friends in town. I guess Austin had promised him he would take him out. And he called me and was like, Craig, I could really use your help taking him out. Like, I don't want it to be just me. So I was like, sure. I got ready and it came downtown.
Why are you mad at me? What did I do?
You're a loser who invited people out and then
I didn't invite anyone out.
Yes, you did.
I see him like closing out his tab and I'm like, what are you doing? Like 10 minutes after I got there and he's like, oh, I'm going home. I'm like, what do you mean you're going home?
Every time that I go home from the bar, he flips on me.
Well, and because God forbid a woman tell you what to do. I mean, that is just
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And that you would listen to her.
I try so hard to be friends with you.
What's wrong with your friend trying to better his life?
You suck, by the way. If you're not gonna date him, get out of his life. Go date your boyfriend in New Zealand.
That's not how it works.
The fact that you guys still talk is also bad.
No, it's not.
You're telling him when to go home. You're not his mom. So why are you still in his life?
Why are you so angry?
I'm not angry. I think you guys are f-ing nuts.
He got so mad because when Craig is like on one and he is drinking and he wants to go out, like he's not the type of person that starts drinking and then can go home and go to bed after having a few. Like, he has to stay up all night long. That's why those three are such good friends, I think, because they're friends but also drinking buddies, and so they're like each other's wingmen. They go out, they get started, they stay out all night, they don't have to get up in the morning, so they can
like
do
the
that
attention.
And when one of them stops and wants to go home and not party and stuff, and they finally just don't have a wingman anymore, that's what pisses them off. So I think that's part of why Craig got mad.
I mean, he bailed on me. That's what happened. He invited me out. He said he needed my help. When I got there, he left me with people and just left and said, what do you mean? You were prioritizing your obsession with like one of your exes over your friendship with me, which is complete bullshit. I'm a loyal person. I'm a good friend. Like, I consider myself a good friend. And it was just, it was mind boggling. I just had it with Austin. Cam is great without Whitney, and Cam loves hanging out with us.
This is my theory,
and
too.
And she loves participating and being social, and she really loves our time together. But if Whitney is there, she's a completely different person, and it will do whatever. Whitney controls her, like a little, and it sucks, because I know Cam actually wants to go have fun with us.
In hindsight, I wish I had gotten on that plane. I had to sit in the front seat with the driver because I was on the verge of vomiting.
His voice does resonate louder to Cam than our voices for some reason, but she really does enjoy her time with
us. They're really bad for each other.
And he was taking her away from us. She didn't want to do that. And I am an outspoken person, and I fixed it. But it just took a lot of yelling.
Plus, she had a handful of drinks on the plane.
Yeah, I mean.
Whitney leads, like, he's like, the ringleader in this regard, like the nose in the air ring leader. And Cam follows his lead 100% of the time. It's like, oh, yeah. This bus sucks because, Whitney said it sucks. This hotel sucks because Whitney said it sucks. And so Craig was definitely, lashing out. I
agree.
Funny.
I do that. Yeah. I do. I mean, I am very much on Whitney's team.
I mean, I got it too. I was a little like, yeah. Why can't you just be on the bus?
Like, I was like, typical, but it didn't bother me to like the extent of which it bothered Craig. I feel like Craig took it personally. He can't verbalize his feelings or where he's coming from.
And he won't listen to you.
And so I think he just gets genuinely frustrated with anyone and everyone. So he ends up irritated 24/7.
None of us wanted to ride on the dang bus, okay? We're here for Cam and ride on the bus. You don't have to be all bougie.
You get on the bus, you sit your ass down, you don't have to talk, nobody's gonna make you do anything. Yeah. Just get your ass up to the mountain. It's absurd.
I'm sorry if I don't want to get on a bus for 9 hours. And I told everybody that was what it was going to be.
It was a 2-hour ride. It wasn't that difficult.
It would bother me, but like, it's just so predictable. They've done that 100 times before.
Yeah.
Craig texted me. He asked where we went in Europe, like what museum we saw. I said, I'm so sorry, I don't remember. And he texts back, wow, I'll try not to let that crush me.
She is the last thing that crosses my mind. Since her, I've dated like, I think 6 people. And had a blast and traveled. I mean, it's been a year and a half or 2 years.
He knows I want to marry Matul, and he isn't cool with that.
Well, I feel like he always says there was no reason you guys, you know, had to break up.
She was his first love. Just say it. It's okay. It's okay to admit that you love her.
We thought we were going to get married. Of course I loved her.
I mean, it's very hard to move past your first love, I think.
They were together a long time,
yeah,
too. They lived together. They experienced a lot of life together.
And it's easy to move on when you meet somebody new and fall in love again. Unfortunately, that just hasn't happened for Craig yet. I mean, I know that it will. It just happened for Naomi a lot sooner. So it kind of twists the knife a little bit.
Everyone thought that Naomi didn't come on the trip because of Matul.
Yeah.
And Matul is, like, controlling,
yeah,
her. And so they thought, like, oh, he just doesn't want her to go and have a good time with,
yeah,
Adam or something.
I mean,
but I don't think that's, like, a real thing.
There's an expectation on Naomi that's pretty high from her family to fit in a box and have all your ducks in a row. And I think she's in that space right now.
Yeah, I guess she wanted more structure. There's no right or wrong. It's just, it was... It's different lives.
But I do remember the Naomi at the beginning of y'all's relationship. It was, I mean, she was a lot of fun. We partied and had a whole hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So this is like a multifaceted thing. I didn't want to go to Colorado for 3 reasons. So during the time that y'all were going, there was still, even though Craig and I had like just had a good conversation, a good talk, we've had that same good conversation 100 other times before.
I would hate for me to be the reason you missed the ski trip. I mean, you know, there's also like, you know, 8 other of our friends going. I would love for you to reconsider, and I won't bother you.
I mean, at this point, it's just become like a respect thing. It would be a slap in the face to Matul.
Things would get back to me that he said about me and Matul, and it was just like hurtful and just showed that he was still angry and kind of pissed me off, honestly. And then it was like the whole thing of going on a trip with a group of friends and an ex-boyfriend that still talks bad about your current boyfriend can't go. And so I was uncomfortable with that. And then my mom, when I talked to her, she said, honestly, if it was your dad, I probably wouldn't go. It's just not that appropriate. Like, if the trip was now, I would go, because I haven't heard Craig say anything. Like, things are totally fine now. It's been long enough, but...
And at the time, Craig was having some temper tantrum.
I just didn't want to be stuck in Colorado with him wasted screaming at me where I couldn't just Uber home.
Well, I hadn't been around weed since I got back from rehab, so I thought, you know, at first when I heard there was going to be a dinner that included weed, like, it was disrespectful because, you know, at the end of the day, I had lost my children because of weed.
I call bullshit. That's just what I think. Absolute bullshit. I think that it was a ploy to, like, bring attention back, you know, to her. She knew.
She did not give two.
She didn't get two f**ks, you know, she just wanted it to be, you know, and like she said it to me in a moment of like being really high, you know, I think it was something like, hey, Austin, just so you know, I'm okay with this dinner. And I was like, huh?
I didn't really realize until I like sat down and they had like the leaves everywhere on the table. It was just like so overdramatic and over the top that it irritated me, and I started to go back to all of the things everyone said about me.
It like brought you back,
like,
to a time.
Oh,
that
she's
was really
a drug
hard.
Addict, psycho, crazy person.
I'm just reading. Whitney said she's a drug addict, a violent sociopath.
When did that come out?
We've kind of been like pegged as like these kind of mean, snobby,
yeah,
exclusive people to this like unwed, poor, helpless mother. When in fact, she is a drug addict, violent sociopath. And we want nothing to do with her.
Wait, what's the date of the article? What are you doing?
No, I'm just recalling, like, whenever I got in trouble with weed.
Instead of, like, freaking out on them, I went, you know, to an internal, like, guilt, feeling of guilt, because I feel that, like, every day still. you know, with my kids.
Like, I don't think it was, like, so much that it was weed.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are probably like, weed's legal in my state. Like, what's the big deal? It's just weed. And a lot of people don't even think of it as, like, a drug or controlled substance. But to her, it was more than that. It was, like, a symbol of a time that was very, very hard for her. And, like, Austin didn't know you then. Like, Austin, like, came on board, like, a couple years ago. Like, he wasn't there to witness what you had gone through. And a lot of people weren't there for you at that time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, right. It's all on me. Like, I'm the mastermind behind this dinner, of course.
She didn't care.
We have to pin it on somebody. I just think that, you know, it was a moment to, hey, do you remember my sobriety?
It surprised me that no one had brought it up, like it was an issue. It was just kind of, like, brushed under the rug. Not that I wanted it to be an issue, obviously. I want to leave it in the past, but I don't know. It just kind of hurt my feelings because I feel like I'm always trying to take into consideration, like, what's going to make someone else feel awkward or what's going on with other people. And the fact that, like, no one even acknowledged it, even at the table, like, just hurt my feelings is all.
So did you just bring it up and he just bold-faced
denied? He looked me in the eye and was like,
but then what?
Didn't happen.
Were you just, like, staring? Did, like, you change the subject?
Like, no, I was like, it was awkward, I'm not going to lie. But I knew it was going to be. If he was denying it to everyone, like, I am not trying to prove that I'm proud I slept with you. I am just trying to say, like, this is weird. Why would you do that?
I think there's multiple layers to it. He has been so vocally against Catherine in the past.
I don't want to say that he's embarrassed of, you know, her.
No.
It's that he's embarrassed that because of what you just said, then he's like, oh, I just went back on everything that I said.
Right.
I think that because I've learned how to be so in control of my own behavior, whenever I see other people doing, like, weird shit and I know I'm in the right, I just sit back and watch.
He's always like, look, if you face these things head on, then...
Yeah, he should have just been like, no big deal, whatever. Yeah, we had a hookup.
And he never, and he can't take his own
advice.
Whitney
has a lot of pride.
But instead, because
I don't think he'll do it again.
So it must have been, I guess, during the summer. I was at a restaurant with some of our friends and Matul.
Like, let's clear the air with everyone, right?
That's what I wanted to happen that night that I saw you at the restaurant.
Yeah, but instead you called me a bitch in front of all my friends.
But was I saying in a joking way?
No!
Serious?
A joke.
We're finishing up our dinner and Ashley walks in on a date. And it turns out that we knew the date that she was with. And so he came up to our table, and when Ashley saw that he was coming to our table, she darted the other way and went and sat at the bar by herself. Obviously, we're not gonna talk to her. So then we're, like, finishing our drinks. We stay a while. She's drinking at the bar. And then Matul gets up and goes to the bathroom. And her date gets up and goes to the bathroom. And that's when Ashley got bored and decided to come up to our table.
Again, bold, like.
Oh, she has the biggest balls.
Like, yeah.
So she walks up and she's like, I don't remember exactly what she said now, but she said, are you gonna say hi to me? And she was talking because she knew it was Madison Simon of Gwen's and her fiance Seth. She's like, are you gonna
she
say-
She started shit with her too at the-
Yeah, moment. We're all like, hi, what? Yes, hello. And she goes, well, not you, Naomi, because you don't like me. And I was like, I don't like you. She goes, because you're a bitch. I was like, ah!
My intentions were only good.
Intentions were good.
No, you came up to the table and you said, you're not going to give me a hug. You're a huge bitch.
Sounds pretty on brand.
And then Matul comes back from the bathroom and he has no idea who Ashley is, what's going on. He just sees this woman talking to us and he looks at me and goes, hey, how you doing? And she takes his seat, she sits down and she goes, well, are you going to hug me? And at that point, I would have done anything to get her to go away. So I try to hug her, and she, like, jukes me out. And I'm, like, sitting here like an idiot with my arms open trying to hug this psychopath. And, yeah, we ended up having to leave the restaurant early. Like, she wouldn't leave us alone.
She was scared, basically.
Yeah, she's scary. Matul and I left first, and then Madison and Seth stayed because she was still talking to them, and we had to wait for them outside on the corner, and they had to tell her, like, our car's this way, and then ran around the block to come back and meet us. She was following them.
Well, that's why you were scared when she showed up at
So, yeah, thing. Long story short, that's why I was scared.
When Shep and I are walking, we're the first ones that see her, and we're laughing about something, and we look up, and she's just standing there, you know, like, dressed like Cruella DeVille or whatever, and like, pretty sure we just both gave her a hug and we're like, hey, what's up? And kept walking because we're like,
looking for fishing rods.
Yeah, that's what, like, that was more important.
Yeah,
to
like,
us.
I'm not gonna alter my life because of Ashley in one single way. Yeah.
I'm like, walk in, I'm like, hey, y'all want a drink? I'm gonna go up here and get it. Like, I broke out in hives.
It was scary. Yeah, we were so scared. I tried to hide under a table.
Yeah, that's right.
But I was like, about time the party arrived.
I'll come say hi to you guys. Is that okay?
Are you still living here?
Yeah.
Do you like it here?
Yeah, I do. I haven't had a chance to really experience Charleston alone.
Why did you tweet the other week and say that we were all losers? You did, Ashley.
Well, you said I'm a horrendous person, so.
Well, you were.
A horrible person.
She said, oh, well, I was really talking about you.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Me? Okay. And it was kind of like a learning moment. I was like, okay, watch and listen. This is called apologizing.
You know, I would always hope that I would be culpable and for, you know, my actions. And I would love to be able to say, look, you know, what I said to you last year, you know, it came from a second, third source.
Women can be nasty, you know, but they're like, I think that Ashley is like an escort.
You know, and I could admit that it was wrong.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
I didn't say, but I was told that, no, just apologize and move on. And if you can do that, but you can't, because you are a snake in the grass.
In Ashley's mind, she doesn't always understand what's going on. It's like Ashley's in Ashley world.
Naomi and I had a chance to talk.
Really?
Briefly.
Did it go well?
I asked her, do you think that Catherine would ever sit down and talk with me?
Because that's what this all stems
from. Even if I was to see her out.
Right.
You know, or bump into a restaurant, do you think that she would be comfortable and open to talking to me if I approached her?
No.
No?
No.
I saw a little, you know, a little opening.
Really?
A little crack, yes.
No.
I don't know. Naomi's a great sounding board, but Naomi is also like teen Catherine. I think she probably misunderstood her, and I think that she rewrote the truth in her head. I mean, I think that happens.
She came up to like everyone and was like smiling and like on display. It was the weirdest thing I have ever heard.
I think she like doesn't read the room well.
I think Eliza just didn't know the backstory, and Eliza didn't know the full history
with it.
Eliza's easily influenced, and she's young, and she got kind of taken advantage of a little bit, I think.
Didn't she say that Ashley was saying that she wanted to come and apologize?
Yeah.
I think what people need to understand about Eliza is that she's not somebody to ever leave someone out or be super confrontational about things like that. And Ashley is somebody that can just pressure so much and be like, am I invited? I'm invited, right? Okay, I'm coming. Okay, I'll be there. That Eliza's probably like, okay, like,
easy prey.
You can't change what you said. You can't change the past. Ashley can't take back the things she said to Catherine. And, you know, I just want peace. I just want closure, and I want all the turmoil to end. I know that's hard to do. But I felt like I was kind of caught in the middle of it because I didn't have issues with her. I wasn't there. I was at college. I was still in school during all that went down.
I mean, Ashley essentially preyed on Eliza. Because
she
Eliza's,
doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah. And poor Eliza ended up really stressed because then she thought Catherine was going to hate her because she thought, you know, it was going to look like she tried to stir up drama when really I don't think that's what happened at all.
She came up to me, like, whenever we were eating and was like, I want to talk to you. I just don't want to do it at the, you know, table.
I needed Maalox. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is about to happen. Like, oh, my God, oh, my God. You really did well, though.
And we went and talked, and, I mean, of course, it was her talking most of the time. And I was just like, at this point, what she says goes in one ear and out the other.
I just want to say that what I said to you was on my business.
I see those children more than you see them. How many times did you go visit your son in the hospital?
Thomas?
You're nothing but an egg donor.
Okay.
Get away from me.
Who am I to tell somebody how they should raise their kids, how, what kind of mother they are?
Did she apologize? Did she essentially apologize?
I think so. She said she was sorry, and then
for
she went into like her own problems and her life and like her childhood and all this stuff.
I don't know how you can go from one polar opposite end of the spectrum to this one. I don't buy it.
Baby, long talking. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yeah.
And I was just, I don't know, it was a lot. I accept it, I don't. Otherwise, I don't know, I don't have any feelings, you know? It's, thank you for the apology, you know?
Yeah. Pat is smart. Pat called me before the party. I said, do you think Ashley will show up? I mean, what if that was a crazy thought? And she goes, well, if she does, I will be prepared. And I was like, I wonder what that means. And she wouldn't tell me what prepared meant. And it ends up being that her bodyguard, BJ, is a friend of mine who I just saw at Myrtle Beach.
Just saw him.
Yeah, love him. I love his wife. She showed up.
Do you have a moment to chat?
Yes.
Did you?
Have you met Mr. Kale here?
No.
I am Ashley.
Are you gonna ask me to leave?
There's just a commotion, just like, it was crazy. It was like a bar fight in the OK Corral, you know? I thought it was fantastic.
And then I guess I walked up because Patricia asked me, she was like, were you trying to help her? I was like, no, I didn't know you had a security guard and I was kind of like holding her away from you.
Patricia, I know what you did and the truth will come out.
Hey, relax.
She was yelling something at Patricia.
The truth will come out.
I can't remember what it was.
I think Patricia and I had planned on like being by each other whenever it happened. Yeah. I went over, not to start shit, but I just wanted to like, know what was going on.
It was like.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere.
Which again is an example, like how ballsy.
I was so angry. I was like, girl, I have worked so stinking hard to tell all these people how much you're not crazy, and now you're sabotaging me by showing up to a party that you're not invited to.
Then we all ran to the balcony because we wanted to see.
She was like, I'm calling Thomas. And so she stood outside for like an hour.
Thomas, they embarrassed me.
She said, Thomas.
And the guy's like pushing me down the stairs, Thomas, I'm in high heels. I mean, so aggressive.
Y'all are watching what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah, peek over.
You think she's on the phone with Thomas?
We were all watching from the porch. I ran out there to see, because obviously I'm curious, I want to know. But then I felt it felt almost a little too mean girly, like all standing up there while she's down there. So then I just kind of walked away and I don't know.
Why would I ever feel bad for her?
I don't know, but it just felt kind of wrong to be, no matter how evil she is, you know?
That was so messed up.
Okay. You have to call 911. Why doesn't she leave? Should I call 911? No.
I think she thought she was gonna have like more time to like talk, smack, put some stuff out there about Patricia, which
she's calling
the cops. Truth.
She went from flipping her hair to like flipping her eyelashes. I'm calling
she
the
was.
Cops. Yes, remember? She's like, stop. Calling the cops.
Oh my God, Thomas. They just kicked me out.
I think she regretted, we've talked. I mean, I know she regrets doing that. That was not a smart move on her behalf. After I'd worked so hard. And I was just like, you know what? Uninvolved. I am washing my hands of trying to help.
When she started walking away, I was like, bye, Ashley. I felt really cool about that moment. I'm not gonna lie. It was exhilarating.
We said 1, 2, 3. And then everybody together said, bye Ashley.
It was the end of the evening. I was getting ready to go, and Ashley came up the back stairs, and she came over and called my name. Once I saw how she treated Catherine at Dufusky Island, that was it. I had nothing more to do with her. I was probably the only person that was anyway kind to her all that season. I invited her to the ball. At that picnic, she told Whitney that she was gunning for me. Whitney warned me, as did other people. I guess this is when she thought I was the mastermind. I mean, as if I could, you know, make her say all those things to Catherine.
She was inciting me to go against you, Catherine.
What does that mean?
She asked me how Thomas and I were doing, and I said, great. She says, good. She goes, this might be kind of selfish, but I want to see you guys together just for the fact that Catherine can't try to get him back.
People kept telling me she was coming after me. She was gunning for me. And I don't take those things lightly because I think, quite frankly, Ashley is an unstable person. And she seemed to be becoming unhinged. So I didn't want any drama. I had no idea what she was capable of doing, and I wasn't going to take a chance, so I hired a bodyguard.
If you were secure in your relationship enough and you had enough confidence in it, then it shouldn't bother you. Or, you know, you'd just be like, oh, that was a dick move, but moving on with life. But I think because they suffer with trust and confidence in their relationship, it probably pissed her off.
Can't blame everybody else for something that you did.
Yeah.
And I feel like he got very defensive throughout the whole season about his relationship with Madison. Madison was the same way, and they kind of like teamed up together. Like, I'm gonna let's show everybody that we're a great couple. And it ends up exploding. And Shep and Craig knew it wouldn't take much to like cause Madison to be pissed. And so, I know, I'm just gonna invite a date.
I remember seeing Madison crying at one point. Those girls, aside from the fact that Shep and Craig invited them knowing exactly what it was gonna cause, they were just so trashy and gross that even if Madison did freak out on them, it would just like bring her to their level. Like, you can't react to people that are that nasty. I would have flipped my shit. I would have lost my mind.
If I'm ever in that position, then
those shoes are not my size.
Yeah, I'm just like, I would never put myself in that position, so.
I was raised, there is a time and place for if you're gonna, you know, act out, and I, even if that happened to me and I saw those two girls and it bothered me, I would, in the circumstance, pretend as if it didn't, because, I mean, if you want to talk about white trashy behavior to start something in at a beautiful party, I mean, that's trashy.
My mom has taught me, Eliza, just take a deep breath and leave.
Those girls were so dumb. We're like, did you sleep with Austin? They're like, I don't know, it was just like a crazy night. And we're like, did you sleep with him? They're like, it was just like a wild night. It was just crazy. Just had a crazy night. It was just like wild. And you were like, what are you saying?
I mean, so many lines had been crossed at that point. Like, yeah. I don't think that there was a standard.
Shep, you f***ing I mean, what a can. There is no other way around it.
I thought it was funny.
It was, oh, I hate you. It was his way of like, okay, let's put the arrow back at Austin.
Yeah.
Guys, let's not forget, Austin had a threesome, he's the best. And I'm like, dude, it was a slap in the face.
Yeah, but at the same time, they came.
I have a history with Chelsea. She's
cool. I like her.
She's
a lot.
Cool. We have a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun together. It's petty, but it was sort of appropriate.
This is when they weren't talking.
Yeah, like fuck them. Like I don't know. I thought it would be funny.
They're basically trying to say that their relationship is a joke.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna make a mockery of it. But I think there was also a part of Shep that wanted to get back at her for crazy things that she had said.
And he had no qualms doing it.
What started this whole thing was Austin cheating on Madison with these two chicks, right?
Madison.
Madison. So he wanted to put it like right in front of their face and say, dance monkeys, basically.
That was gross. I mean, that was and obviously just trying to hurt Madison and Austin. Like, I don't know. I thought that was just a dirty move.
No, I thought it was funny as hell.
I did too, and to have watched that video so many times, I was so curious.
Like, he did it on purpose.
I mean, who the girls were and what they looked like.
He did it to poke the bear.
Yeah, and so when I finally saw him, I was like, oh, those are the girls.
I wanted to get a good look.
I was uncomfortable for Madison and Craig and everybody, because it made Craig look like he was bringing the girls, and he was like, I didn't bring them.
I think Craig is playing like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, Craig, you're a f***ing pawn, okay? You're a pawn in this game, and we all know that.
Was it supposed to be one was Shep's date and one was, oh my God, that is so ridiculous. Like Craig would ever go for.
I don't apologize for that at all. I did to her, but I didn't mean it. Madison and I had to talk. She goes, I won't talk to you. And I was like, all right, we'll go talk. She was like, I just won't apologize for all the things. And I'm like, I'm sorry too. I'm sorry I brought the two girls over here. And Madison's in front of me, and she said some shit under her breath, like, f*** you. And I go, what did you just say?
I go, you can't leave well enough alone. I go, you can't, you are unable to be a classy person. Like, it's impossible for you. She proved what I called her the whole time. And that just goes to tell you, always trust your instinct, especially about first impressions. Not always, but you give someone a second chance, give them a third chance, give them a fourth chance, and then it's over, right?
Well, we've had Craig, Shep, and Austin all on the podcast recently, and they stated something about the reunion being insane. Do you think their friendship will be the first item to discuss on Reunion Part 1?
Looking at the seating arrangement, it'd be hard not to say something about the physical distance between the boys.
And just listening back to some of our interviews from earlier this season, there's a lot that has changed opinions-wise.
Austin, for sure, fits into the category. Here's what he said about Madison at the beginning of season 6.
My mother, you know, loves her. My family loves her, you know, because she deals with people all day. You know, she has that like, oh, girl, your shoes, your pants, they're everything. And then people take to her very, very quickly. So she can be an absolute sweetheart. Yeah.
Are you two still together?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm dating her. And, you know, that doesn't mean that it's all, you know, rainbows and sunshine all the time.
Yeah. And here's what he said about her towards the end of the season. Do you think Madison is healthy for you?
I don't know. No. No. You know, but when we're good, you know, and whether that's friendly or like relationshipy, life is just better, you know? It's like more even keel for me. And when we're not good, it's like it's like anxiety ridden. And I don't know, you know, I mean, Shep tries to ask me at one point too, you know, he's like, help me to understand. And I'm like, it is, you know, innate. I don't know what you want me to say to you.
And are you all hanging out with Madison at this point?
No.
No. Separate worlds.
Separate. Yeah. I mean, you know, Craig and Madison are friends. They've known each other. You know, but that doesn't mean that he thinks that she's good for me. And Shep is certainly, you know, kind of drawn a line in the sand on that one.
Oh my, things have certainly changed.
Be sure to catch the Southern Charm Reunion Part 1 premiering Wednesday, August 21st at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific.
And we'll be back with our regularly scheduled episode of The Daily Dish this Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed.
Bye.
Bye.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.